and welcome to EverQuest Revisited, the show that talks all things EverQuest. I am your host, Darren. On this episode, we continue where we left off with our special guest, Battletoad. If you missed part one with Battletoad, you can catch up by listening to episode 6. Okay, let's get straight back to it.
I do actually have a neat story from the other night where I was playing on green on my warrior, and I got invited to go to Valkator's Labyrinth and the Upper Dogs. And the shaman looked really familiar, and I'd seen the name probably 1,000 times, never really thought about it. And it turns out that he was one of the developers and GMs for Project 99. Not the original EQ, but one of the people that, you know, helped make P99 possible. And I was just like, oh man, that's so cool. And he linked me an item that was probably the only unique item I've seen. And it was named after him. And it was just kind of like an ale. He's a barbarian. You could just like think just never ending ale, something like that. So that was kind of cool.
The GMs are, like you said, very active in the game. So I can't keep going on about how we do miss the GMs and the GM events from the old days. So it sounds like P99's really got that still in it. With it being not an EverQuest server, not supported, and I'm assuming that they get donations because it's free, right?
Oh, yeah. It is free to play.
There must be a similar thing. People donate. It's not cheap to run servers, I'm guessing.
Definitely not. Staff does this, you know, just because they want to. There is on the website, you know, there is in the top left corner, there's a you can donate if you want to. Free to play, no monthly fee. You know, nobody's profiting.
They're going to be fans, aren't they? They're fans of the game. They're definitely people who played it back when we played it. You know, they've come up with this idea, this project. P99 seems to be the main one. That I know there are other emulated servers out there. I think P99 seems to be the one where majority of people are going. And that sort of brings me on again to another question, which is, and you'll be able to probably answer this, for people who want to play P99, what do they actually need to do?
It's been so long since I installed it. There is a frequently asked questions on the website where I think it has a link to where you can get the files. You don't need any physical CDs. You can just download them. You'll probably have to mount the image of the disk. That's probably the most complicated part of installing the files. It's really easy. It's all here. And occasionally they'll put out a new patch. You'll just add into your folder. You have to make a separate folder. And if you actually do run your live EverQuest patcher client and it actually starts to overwrite things, you might have to do a fresh install. I've never had that happen to me, though.
What about bugs and glitches in the game? Do you come across bugs and glitches from time to time, or is it pretty smooth sailing?
I would say that as far as, say, where things are supposed to be, like pathing, you know, quest mechanics, mob mechanics, you know, I'd say P99% perfect.
Yeah, got a little pun in there. I like that. A nice little pun.
Yeah, I just came up with that. Yeah. it's mostly spot on. And on occasion, you know, I'll go AFK running into a wall or something and find out that mobs do that too, because you'll be in Butcher Block or maybe Great Divide, and you just find a random spot where a bunch of goblins or skeletons or yak men or something are just kind of stuck staring at the wall. And you can report them. Best way to do it is, you know, on the website, on the forums, the staff, you know, actively, you know, they look at it, they address it. If something does seem out of place, you know, just like pathing wise, they'll fix it. Or if there is something that seems to be chronologically wrong or shouldn't exist in the timeline, they'll ask that you can support it, you know, and you can use Wayback Machine. You can, you know, any method you want to do, you know, go find an old website, go read old patch info, and they'll fix it. You know, if there is a bug or glitch, you know, a mob that shouldn't be there, they will remove it. So yeah, I found some, and there'll be patches all the time. I learn new things about this game. I've learned more on P99 just reading like patch notes of what they fixed than I did ever on live. A good example, this quest, you can't do it anymore. It was Cyclops Eye, and I'm so lazy I never tried it. It was one of those like evil race only quests, you know, that probably existed only on live. And it was like Dark Elf Necromancer somewhere in Freeport. And apparently it was not well known that you'd turn in a Cyclops Eye or 4, you know, to this NPC, and the experience gain was massive I didn't know about this until, of course, you know, in the patch notes, Cyclops iQuest is no longer in game. They'll remove stuff like that, so they'll try to keep everything in even playing field.
They follow the actual timeline of EverQuest. Even certain items, like you mentioned the Mana Stone earlier, it wasn't taken out of the game, but they stopped it from spawning, didn't they? And I think they do exactly the same on P99, is that right?
These are the original legacy items of original EQ. Does a Mana Stone still exist on Live? Is that something that people remember or might want to put like on the wall in their house?
With the Mana Stone, if I recall, dropped in the original EverQuest.
Yeah,
it was a clicky item. You could pass it around and reload your mana. People who made EverQuest at the time. Dear, we've made a mess up here. So they stopped it from spawning or dropping, so you couldn't get it anymore. But they didn't take it away from the people who already had it.
Right, any existing.
Yeah, still in the game. However... Right. And I think they do it on the TLP servers as well, the time progression servers.
Right.
From my knowledge and what I've heard is that it's only valid in the original EverQuest zones. So if you take it into Velks or Kunark or anything after that, it won't work. So that's how they managed to get around and nerf it.
Right.
I think P99 follow the timeline pretty to a T.
The green server is the most accurate timeline server that they put out. That they did it in real time. And Mana Stone, yeah, it was just too powerful. About 60 hit points for 20 mana. So it was a trade-off. I had one on blue for a while, and it was sort of fun. It was handy. I liked having it on my druid because you poured around so much. But yeah, it would only work in original EQ, the original zones. The best place you could still use it, that it'll still work, is in the hole in Otis. You know, under the Arudan City, which is pretty good experience. That's it's actually a pretty popular zone. And that's always fun, you know, getting to crawl these places where in the middle of nowhere you'll find people. But yeah, Mana Stone. You used to be able to use it in Plain Sky.
The hole for me was a place where I just went the other day, actually, with my frog. We weren't high enough level. We didn't even get past the entrance. So we need a few more levels yet. We're going to go back.
The hole has a lot of epic stuff in it, which... Do people still do epics on Live?
They still do it. They got the epic one, they got the 1.5, and then the 2. And I think what happens now is if you want to skip the 1, you do a little pre-quest. You go straight on your epic 2. As we're playing the frogs, we are doing everything by the book.
You're trying to recreate. It's like you're trying to recreate your own P99 experience, but... Even the zones like wouldn't be the same, and the difficulty probably isn't there.
Not at all. I mean, the actual zones and stuff like that, we thought we had created it. We come up with a problem quite quickly, was that we were just leveling too quick. We were trying to play it. We nerfed ourselves the best as possible, so we weren't allowed to use Defiant gear or anything like that. It's got to be classic gears. We cannot use anybody else. Nobody else can buff us. Can't use mercs.
You're playing the hardcore EQ mode.
Yeah, so trying to. The problem was we were still getting levels so quick. And because we're experienced players, we can kind of get out of a lot of situations where probably back in the day when we were first playing, we would have wiped many times. Even though it's different classes, we still know how to play the dynamics of the game.
They have a huge experience boost just so you can...
Yes. The levels just going up so quickly. And what we've had to do to prevent that is create a raid. We can create raids now, so we get less experience.
Just make a raid group.
Yeah, make a raid group. Clever. And it slows it down.
See, I like P99 because it's slow. I definitely move pretty slow in real life, so I think I like that the game is slow. Warcraft and such is too fast-paced for me. Yeah, I can't do the mechanics and crazy stuff. I just like to know. It's almost like an interactive chess game sometimes.
Yeah, I think P99 would probably have been too slow for us because we're only put about one evening a week.
What level are your frog locks now?
So we've hit like level 52 very quickly.
That might take me about 2 years.
Yeah, well, it took us probably about 3 weeks, if that.
Yeah.
And then we switched to AAs now. We're just zooming through, and that's the problem. And where we're going so fast, my spells are fizzling all the time. So you level up so quick, you don't even have time to, you know, get your spells.
Level your basic skills.
Yeah.
It actually happened to me the other day. For green server, the idea was I have a core six that I play on blue. And then there's a few classes that I can't or won't play. So I made a paladin. I always like to have a good name. So his name is Questalot. He's a dwarf. So I'm just, you know, killing some undead here. I actually didn't play him. I leveled him pretty much to 20. And you can still do this here. You know, you can turn in these things for experience. I leveled him with crushbone belts and pads and, you know, light stones and the Karanas and left goblin ears and high keep. So I got to level 20 and I'm trying to just solo, you know, normal things like Caymans and the Oasis or go to South Karana and like kill a centaur or something. And I'm just so weak. I didn't understand. And my mana wouldn't regenerate. So I realized, I'm like, oh no, did I do it where I hadn't trained in levels. I didn't have double attack, parry. I didn't have meditate. I didn't have dodge. So no wonder these things actually matter. Like there's no AAs, you know, you really do learn how to play your class because you can approach it. You know, it's almost impossible, I say, to experience. Even I think on live, it'd probably be impossible to experience all the game content on each class in one lifetime. It'd be quite a challenge.
Well, it's a very big world, isn't it? Even just the original EverQuest, you know, it's a massive world. And that I think that's why people do like it. And that's why we've done the frogs to visit a lot of the zones we've never even been to. So it makes sense, like you're saying, it's such a vast world. There's so many little zones and little areas you just run past or you dig. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of them around. And I think you're exactly right with that. There's a lot of zones and areas and dungeons you're just never going to see. Right.
You get like just kind of a feel for it, almost like a muscle memory or like a mental library of, say, just a 3D zone. It's part of the game itself, like the character itself, like the terrain, the topography. And on P99, you can come back and you can see the North Desert of Ro and the Oasis of Mar and the South Desert of Ro. And they're the original zones where I know on live, like when I did go back and visit, it's been merged into like one giant zone. So you can't even, the nostalgia, like you're actually in it. It's still here. Like I just couldn't believe. And when I heard the P99 existed, it's just like I remembered it. It didn't change. You know, everything in life changes, but here it's almost like the game itself, the people, it's like it's my friend, you know. And my girlfriend calls EverQuest and all of it the other woman.
Yeah, I think my wife's the same. I mean, yeah, as soon as that music come on, the very first time after many years of playing it, she just literally said, "That better not be EverQuest." And I'm like, "Yeah, not playing that again. You're not getting into that again." Yeah. And I said, "Yeah. No, I'm going to go play it maybe a couple of hours a week." Nah. I'm back on it. Yeah, I'm back on it pretty much every night now. We've had a few discussions, heated discussions.
Oh my. I think I've had a few myself where she just she's like, you know, I just can't hear about it anymore. But she gave it a really good try. You know, she leveled a monk with me. She would occasionally, you know, res me. But so here's our question today for all the listeners out there. If you remember Pain Soul, you know, or P99 players, you know, Pain Soul. When I first met her about 7 years ago, one of her first experiences to EQ was, I'm camping Pain Soul. And I'm like, hey, do you want to camp Pain Soul for me? It's really easy. So I had her log on my cleric. You know, I just told her what to do, you know, and you just kill a ghost over and over every 7 minutes for eternity, you know, hoping to get a piece of the old Vishan's Peak key. And she camped Pain Soul for me, and she let a ghost run, and she died, but I was bound there, and she didn't know she could res herself, and she died like another at least two times, and she calls me, and she's crying, and I'm like, it's okay. So she camped Pain Soul for me, and eventually I think she got it, you know, maybe a day or two later. So the question is, do I marry this girl? Is she a keeper? You know, vote down below in the comments.
My wife would even entertain logging on, you know, EverQuest and playing it for me. If I left her with my PC and EverQuest logged on, she'd probably find the best way to delete it and just say something went wrong. So she'd delete my character. No. So oops. I think you've got a keeper there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It's It's kind of like a joke. Like, I know the answer. But yeah, it's really funny. That was her introduction to EQ. You know, so I definitely think that, yeah, she's very tough. But yeah, she had no idea it was on, like, one of the worst camps in the game. And but yeah, she
I wonder if she doesn't want to play.
No, right? Like, here, this is fun. I think you yeah, right. Like, it's kind of funny, this game where it's really not player friendly. It's pretty brutal, you know. But yeah, teach you to learn from your mistakes. Yeah, it's not player friendly.
That brings me on to another thing then. You're very good at moving me on to my next questions. I like it. You just moves right into them. It's great. With P99, if somebody was going to start playing for the first time, what tips would you give them for starting their journey on P99?
So I would say there is a somewhat of a difference between the blue and the green server. The blue server is a lot more established. You know, it's been around for the 10 plus years. And I would say it's definitely the faster paced server. The raid scene at the end is a lot more competitive. People are just as friendly on blue or green, but I'd say the green, it has more people, and the raid scene, it's a little more slower paced. I'd say it goes about a third the speed. If you're looking for, you know, more people, definitely green. You know, if you're, say, a more experienced character, yeah, you know, I'd pick blue. Definitely, you know, try to hang out in the tunnel. In the common lands, you can get groups. Just about any class can solo. Reach out. There's a P99 Facebook page. There's a Reddit forum. You can say hi in the new players forum on the P99 website. You can ask for a weapon. You'll probably get one. You can shoot me a tell. You know, I'll definitely, you know, give you a buff or something, and whatever I can do to help.
Remind everybody your team's name.
All right.
And what server you're on.
In case you forgot, Battletoad Blaster Master, or BT, you know, as a lot of older folks know me. If there was a Battletoad to exist on P99 blue, red, and green, I would be all of them. Blue and red are both 60 troll shamans. Played red for a bit. And green is a level 57 troll warrior. I never played warrior. I've been soloing a warrior on green for about 3 years, and I'm still not 60. But yeah, I'm mostly known as Battletoad. I have a bunch of other great characters. I really like my level 60 druid. Her name is Mana Tree. And then I have a few others like Mana Sword, Double Dragons. My cleric is Months Behind. And probably my best name, surprisingly, is my wizard, and his name is the Quad Father.
You do love your puns.
I really do. Like, wasn't a good name? Like, you know, you sit there for a while, and you know, you can try it. You might be surprised with the name you get. You know, you never know. I mean, that is, what's in a name? A lot. A joke is great if it's funny, like more than once, or it's just always good. And that's a great story, because I already had this druid. And I really love quadding. Like, you can still quad here. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing still, but you know, you snare four mobs and can nuke four mobs, and it's like a druid wizard specialty thing.
I believe they still can on live. Honestly, they have nerfed it a little bit, I think. I've never played a druid, so I've heard the story. The druid is a lonely life, and they're very good at soloing back on the old EverQuest.
Druid is kind of lonely life up until maybe like the 50s. You know, but druid is mostly solo tune, I would say. Plenty of druids, you know, you can always join Dialport, you know, get a good, you know, start. It's definitely a good start for a new player. Make a porter, you know, just port. One day I went to a local Goodwill, you know, like a thrift store, and I was looking at the DVDs. I pulled out this just sort of almost looked like a bootleg homemade. It was 4x4 racing. You know, going over hills, jumping, you know, like in the mud and stuff. And it said the Quad Father. And I was like, oh my God. I ran home and made the name. And that wizard is now like level 57. And I've acquired some neat Holy Grail items. It's just fun.
Is that on the blue or green server?
Oh, that's on blue. Most of my tunes are on blue. I really only have a few tunes on the green server. But yeah, I try to play both.
Most people will find you on the blue.
Mainly on the blue server. Like, yep. If it quakes, you know, and I hope it quakes soon. I'd probably be raiding with Vanquish, just steamrolling the world. It's pretty fun pandemonium.
So you've been playing, obviously, EverQuest now for how many years?
I've been on P99 Blue. I started in February of 2012. I'm coming up on my 11-year anniversary.
Any breaks in between that?
I think it's normal and actually probably pretty healthy to take a seasonal break where you might not see somebody for about 3 months, and whether they're, you know, just like taking the summer off, you know, or just like not playing for the winter. I've been playing steadily.
So all the time you've been playing, you must have a favorite mob and a favorite item. Definitely. Do you have one?
Oh, definitely. I literally dream about Lotizal, the sea turtle in Iceclad Ocean. It's just, to me, it's like a legendary creature. It's very popular. They even just had to recently change it. It used to pop underneath an iceberg, and they had to change it where it would now randomly pop just kind of somewhere in the area. And there's a first to engage message, you know, to avoid disputes. Lotizal has a huge window. It's the only mob in the game of a few that can skip where it's not guaranteed. And it might pop once a day. It might pop once every 3 days. I've seen Lotizal pop at the very last possible second after most people have given up. Most people say the window's over, people are leaving, and they're not prepared. And Lotizal starts one-shotting people, and it puts out a big yellow message where it says, Lotizal engages Battletoad. Lotizal starts one-shotting people, and you hit the bat phone on your Discord, red alert, like, turtle! And everybody rushes in to kill the turtle, because the turtle's a guaranteed drop of all this great stuff. You get the turtle shell, and you get a shield, and you might get a really great belt called Belt of the Great Turtle, which is a really rare item. So my favorite item, it's related to Lotizal Turtle. It's the Eye Patch of Plunder, which I think on live is still actually a pretty great item, and it's pretty good to have in your bags. And I even know in Planes of Power, it was still pretty popular. It's the best mask that you can get outside of raiding for, I would say, honestly, any class, any tune, whether you're a caster, a priest, but it's usually gone for by melee. It's got great stats, resists, and it's unique in that probably just about the only item in the game that you can right click and give yourself a spell haste buff. So it's really sought after, and it requires you to kill the turtle, and then you have to go kill Stormfeather, which is a snow griffin with an even worse spawn cycle. You know, it might pop once every 4 days. It's like pops maybe once every 18 hours.
So is it a part of a quest then?
It's part of a quest.
Right. Is that the shell shield quest? Is that right?
That's the Lotizal shell shield, which is still a pretty great item. I have a bunch of them
different quest again.
The Eye Patch of Plunder quest, you have to get a map piece off of Lotizal, and it's no drop, so you have to loot it yourself. And there's 4 pieces, and they all come off of different animals, like throughout Velius. And the bottlenecks are usually, you know, Lotizal is the raid mob that everybody wants. But then the real challenge, I say, is Stormfeather, which is the snow griffin, where you have to, you know, sit on a hill and listen to the wind blow for 3 days. And then you start doing math, you know, wondering if your timers are wrong. And then you start questioning your sanity so you can get your eye patch to plunder. And I think I have about 8 of them on blue. I've killed so many Lotizals and Stormfeathers and lost them or died to them. While it's mostly a melee item, I have it on my shaman, druid, cleric, wizard, monk, ranger, level 52 Vox alt. Because, you know, you can't be higher than level 52 to kill Lady Vox.
Teleported out, if I remember rightly.
Right, yeah, you get booted from the zone. Yeah. Then I had one on a level 30 Shadow Knight, and I decided I didn't like the Shadow Knight anymore. So I kind of wondered, you know, because I'm a big player of, like, what if. So I was going to delete this Shadow Knight. So I went back to the original quest giver that you get the eye patch from in the end, who's a gnome pirate in Iceclad Ocean. And I gave it back to him to see if anything happened, and it didn't. I guess there might not be anything there.
If you give it back to him, what you mean you gave him back the eye patch?
Like, I gave him back the actual eye patch that requires you to go kill the turtle and the griffin and everything. Just to see, just in the name of, I don't know, science, research.
So did that just disappear then? Almost like just, a destroyed?
Just disappeared. He just ate it. Yep, nothing happened.
We don't get that anymore. We get it where if we do that now, they'll just say, yeah, I don't need that item. Because I can remember Lottie. It is funny speaking to yourself because, like I said, I'm reminiscing chatting to yourself because it's been such a long time since I played the classic EverQuest, really. And fighting the Lottie was, I can remember the shell boots, which gave you the skin. The turtle skin, I think it was, which was more of a common drop.
Lottie's all shell boots, which I still think are fun. You can click them at level 1. And give yourself turtle skin.
That's it, yeah. So I can remember them. I can remember having those, and that was more of a common drop. And I remember the eye patch of plunder. Now, I remember that. The name always rings a bell. That's in my head quite deep. So that means it was an item which was quite, everybody wanted that item. And I know I have one, but I can't remember how I got it and stuff like that. If I'd done the quest, I can't remember. I probably did because things you're saying is starting to shake my old head up a little bit and sort of putting some memories back together. So that's...
Yeah, like you actually get to go just relive these memories. And I've seen Lysol fights go every which way.
Lottie, is he the turtle which a lot of druids used to solo?
Once Planes of Power and GOD came out, I have a vivid memory of a barbarian shaman with the pet AAs soloing Ladizal with an army of spirit wolves, and I was just in awe. Even though the content was a few expansions old, it was still a very lucrative mob.
You still make money back then because you still had new players joining. People still wanted to buy these items. Now, on live, definitely won't want them. Most likely on P99, these items are still wanted and still can make some good money from. So
I actually went back to live about a month ago. One of my friends that I actually met here on P99 that's become a pretty good real-life friend now. He by chance, lives about an hour and a half away from me. He's a real friend. It's great. Like, we sometimes play, nightly. A friend gave me a heroic level 100 ranger so I could go try to maybe research some loose ends, in Classic on Live. And for me, that was actually fun because it was like I got to run around in, God mode with track as well. I went and did everything. And there's all these great achievements on Live that I actually liked. For me, it was, Hunter, go get all these rare spawns. And it was actually great. Like, today you can go to Iceclad Ocean. There's going to be a 75% chance Lottizal is just up walking around. You might find Stormfeather on the hill. And to me, that just makes me kind of happy, that to some degree they're still there. And it's just so weird for me to go back to live and run around Planes of Power. And the mobs are all just up like it's my own private server, but it's still live. And it just doesn't seem like anybody, on live is really doing the old content anymore because, it's probably just too easy.
Yeah, well, the thing with EverQuest now, and that's why I think they're trying to entice new players in. They're on about doing the new UI and stuff to make the game easier for the next generation to pick up the game because as soon as they jump into the game, they find it very difficult. They're sort of bewildered by all this clunkiness of how EverQuest plays with the UI, and they're thinking they're going to fix that. They're hoping to bring new people into the game. With what you're saying is the lower zones, unless you re-roll, and people do, but then they just power level or they get a merc, and they're so overpowered, you can just let the merc tank go in and take the damage, and you can just level yourself all the way up to probably... to 60 plus.
Definitely seems that live is a lot more streamlined and you lost a lot of your character definition. Whereas here, you have your 14 classes that there's no beast lords and everybody has a good defined role. You have your own unique play style still. There's no merc. I've often found that the best balance is about 3 people. And with that, you have a really good group. Hell levels are real. Leveling to, I would say about 30. Is actually pretty quick. You could probably do that in a couple weeks, maybe less. And then you hit 30 and it slows down, and you hit 35 and it's kind of slow, and 40. And getting past 40 usually seems to be the struggle for me. And then you get to 45 and that's slow. But by far the worst level is 54. It takes forever and ever. And then once you get through that, you know, it's kind of fun to level 59, which is like the worst level ever. I remember grinding the permafrost bear pits on my druid with my mana stone because it's a classic zone and it worked there, and like wearing a fungus covered scaled tunic. And I even had like a fungus staff, not a pre-nerf, which there are a few. Those are some super duper legacy items, you know, only a few exist on blue and green still, where I would just be, they call it meat grinder method, where you're in permafrost and you pet charm polar bears. And I couldn't clear this room any faster. I couldn't have done it more efficiently. I had a goblin kazugi ring, which gives you invis versus animals. So it's kind of like an instant, you know, charm breaker. It seemed the most controlled, fun environment that I just really enjoyed playing it meticulously and tediously like this. But like I said, I couldn't do it faster. And I'd get maybe 4% experience about every 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a grind.
There, calculate how many weeks it was going to take you to ding 60.
That's the bear pit, which is quite a busy area though, isn't it?
That's under Lady Vox. Yeah,
it's a very busy area because it is known for good XP down there, if I recall.
Yeah, there's a top level and a lower level, and it's pretty good for druids, shamans, necromancers. It's kind of neat how it's just way deep down in a dungeon somewhere, and it's active, it's alive. You couldn't find that there today.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to run there now, and it'd probably be nobody in there.
You're probably live.
It's sort of just run through it. So the population is dwindling. Going back to what I was saying about the trying to get new players in the game, and that's why EverQuest Live is obviously focusing a lot more on the high-end game, bringing out the expansions. And I'm going to do an episode, and I think it's going to be a great episode, where I'm going to try and get a few people to come on and just have some ideas about expansions, their ideas of the community, what they think, what Live could do to try and entice things, make it a little bit different, change the expansions up a bit, because the expansions have been pretty much revamping the old zones.
They're trying to bring the lore and the nostalgia back, like kind of part two.
Yeah, it's just kind of rinse and repeat sort of scenario. I do love playing it, and the new zones, especially the latest expansion, it's lovely to look at compared to some of the other zones. It's very bright. It's got some really nice looking zones in there.
I think that the Ak Havens, like when I saw that as the coming soon announcement, for someone that hasn't played in forever, I actually thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, great looking zones in there and some new mobs and stuff like that, which is good. Nice to see they're still investing in it. And can't moan too much. There ain't many games out there which is still being invested in 20 plus years down the line. So, yeah. And it's great to have both communities out there as well with P99, and you've got EverQuest Live. Even though P99 is free, and some people would say, oh, it's actually having a negative impact on EverQuest because all those players would be contributing to Live, which means they'd be putting more money into the game and they could spend more money.
It's only about 2,000 people.
Would they actually go on Live? A lot of the people who I feel play P99 are there for the old game, that old experience. Like you said, that not ease, everything hard, everything's difficult, everything's a challenge. Whenever you complete something on the old classic, and that's how I feel, you feel like you've achieved something.
Definitely does feel like, you know, an accomplishment in working together with people. There definitely is a level of difficulty that just, you know, when you're coming back to play this, I think that you just accept and that you're prepared.
I think you're just a bunch of people who just like glutton for punishment. Glutton for punishment, you know. I mean, back to that, who wants to do these corpse runs? I mean,
we all find your body again. We must all really, you know, just, like keep ourselves here in like this limbo. I'd like to give a shout out to my angry goblin crew on blue and green, where this is fun. This I'd say is literally the worst camp in the game. This is where you set the bar for worst camp. It's called the Angry Goblin, and it's required to advance in the Chardok faction, you know, the Sarnak city, to, you know, get a really good ring. So Angry Goblin has a respawn of once every 3 days, only they had to add variants to it as well. So fortunately, it's not an 18-hour window. It's only a 7.5-hour window.
Socks not needed.
You should bring your socks, you know, and all your provisions, you know, and everything. So pretty much it's you and 20 to 30 people are all standing in a, you know, nice polygon hallway that's brown, and you're staring at a corner waiting for the angry goblin to pop somewhere in this 7.5 hours. And lately he's been going late. Because it's such a desirable item, you know, and a lot of people want it, everybody decided that the best way to decide who wins is to roll. You know, you random 1,000. You have to be there when the angry goblin pops, and you have a 10-second window, 10 seconds to random your 1,000. And if you miss that window, and I've seen people lose by maybe 5 seconds, even if they had a winning roll. And it's really just to discourage people, you know, from two boxing, you know, or maybe like logging another character real quick. Like you can't really do it within that 10-second window. So I do that maybe twice a week. And if it earthquakes, I usually even have a tune parked there just to log in to try and win that roll.
Who kills the mob then? Do you all kill it, or the person who rolled the highest gets the opportunity to kill him?
The person who rolls the highest then has to immediately turn in the item, you know, to trigger it. And then he walks off and pops a bigger goblin, Warlord Scargus. And everybody does just walk up and, you know, and help kill, you know, and they get a good congrats. Somebody's got to win. So there's one winner, but then there's three winners of the trigger mob. You have to win the Shady Goblin, which has a 24-hour respawn. So you at least know when it's coming, but you have to win that first with your random 1,000 before you can even go stare at Angry Goblin once every 3 days. So you have at least two new people there in theory every week. So the numbers never really go down. This is the same with other popular items such as Scout Roll, which is for a good bracer or a range item. And that's every 10 hours. And you'll have people around the clock that log in every 10 hours just to have a chance to win a free item. And then if you remember the Cul'Dane Ring quests, that's actually one of my favorite quest lines as well. I did some of that on the Velius beta, you know, tested them, you know, submitted a couple bugs. You know, the Ring 8 roll is once a day. Yeah, it might be at 4 a.m. People will log in to roll. And then you have to bring your own force for that. That seems to be, personally think that people should stick around and help with that. It just seems odd to me that they help with Scout, they help with Angry Goblin. I don't know. I think there's just too much potential for it to go wrong because, you know, stuff can just go sideways in EverQuest. And I've seen it happen a bunch of times.
So where are you up to in the game at the moment then? Have you got characters you raids with, or are you working a character up now, or are you progressing with a couple of characters?
Part of the fun definitely is the journey of, you know, leveling up your character and learning how to play it, the marginal gains, knowing what you're doing. So let's see. I've got my main 6 characters on blue. My monk is getting pretty close to level 60. He just passed 20%. So I'm trying to level him. I'm trying to level my ranger a bit. She's almost 54. I'm not sure what to do on my wizard because quadding just kind of seems to like fall off the late 50s. All my characters have the Vishan's peak key. That's a lot of pain souls. That's a lot of tracking on teeth. I am sort of stuck in the boat of I wait for the quake, you know, or I log in on raid days. Kill most of the dragons, Temple of Vishan, go for kings. There's a few items that I'm still trying to get. It just comes down to random RNG. I've done so much, you know, and then sometimes you have to go looking for other stuff.
So is there anything you really want to talk about? Is there any other stories, or is there anything you sort of would like to say anything to the listeners?
There's some great urban myths and legends on P99. One of them is called Book Not Up, which involves the Rogue Epic book in Plane of Hate, where it was a live stream Twitch stream, where it was, I think, an open raid in Plane of Hate. And somebody cast Bind Sight on a rogue running around, and he ran up to the book and he grabs the book. And someone says, "What's the book for?" You know, because it was on live stream. And the rogue responds, "Book not up." He tried to grab the book and then say it wasn't up, but everybody saw him do it. And it became, still to this day, it's a meme or just a phrase or a saying. Like if you even say book in this game, people will say book not up. That's a good one. That's a good video out there.
Yeah, I haven't come across it. I've never played a rogue, so I don't. So I have never sort of come across that. And I'll probably have a look at it and see if I can find the meme. Don't know if it'll work if I do it on live. If I say but, I don't know if they know what I'm all about. So
I don't think, yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah, it's a entirely different world here. I mean,
yeah. What I was going to say is, also, I could chat to you all night. You've got a lot of stories, and I'm more than happy to have you on again as a guest. And I'm going to wrap it up with a lightning round.
I didn't even talk about Dune Digger.
Dune Digger. Okay, go for it. I'm happy. If you've got time, I'm sure the listeners have got time and like to hear about Dune Digger. So, yeah, go for it.
All right. So really, a lot of people still talk to me about this on Green today. I'm mostly known as the Dune Digger guy, and it happened by accident. And I did it about 3 years ago when Green launched. So I just had this troll warrior, you know, new character, and I wanted a shield. The shield just had stamina on it. That's it. 12 armor, 9 stamina. And it drops off of this named armadillo called Dune Digger in the original North Desert of Ro. So where's Dune Digger? I spent a good while looking for Dune Digger and a good at least 3 months of trying to find this mob. You can read about it on Reddit. You can look up the legend of Dune Digger. It's also linked on the Dune Digger Wikipedia page, which I entirely rewrote that page. There was almost no information or just misinformation on his whereabouts. So for the first time in about almost 10 years on P99, there wasn't a good, clear way of just how to get this low-level classic mob. And I went and found it. And short story is, I found out his placeholder and his spawn point. Dune Digger is an oversized armadillo, and he drops the Scoot shield, which was the unique shield, and it has a unique graphic. And he's also the only mob in the game to drop an armadillo hide, which is curious because I wouldn't put it past the original GMs or devs to put a trade skill item that only drops off of an extremely impossible to find rare spawn. Respawn time is exactly 2 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds. With a maybe 1% chance to pop. And over about 3 months, I got him like 4 times. And that was me running placeholders around the clock for almost 20 hours a day on blue, green, and red, just trying to do it for research. So,
well, that's some dedication right there. What zone, where would he be?
This is in the original Northern Desert of Ro, which connects to the Common Lands, or also Freeport, which would then connect to the Oasis of Mar. So yeah, that was kind of fun, and I enjoyed doing that. And I drew a little map on the Wikipedia, and then I went on to draw some other maps, you know, for other notorious mobs, which, you know, we can talk about another time. Really what I'd like to tell everybody to go take a look at, because I could talk about this forever, and we can talk about this next time, you know, which, you know, I do look forward to being on the show. This has been pretty fun. I've enjoyed talking about EQ. My girlfriend thinks it's phenomenal. She wants me to, she says it'd be great if I was here monthly talking about EQ so she never had to hear about it again.
So I'm your therapist.
EverQuest therapist. Wow, I think you got a pretty good niche right there.
Yeah, I got a niche market. I got a niche market. I'd really like to have you back, and I'm sure you've got loads more stories. Yeah. I think also catching up with where you're at with your current character is a kind of an update every month for people and listeners. I think that'd be really good. We will wrap it up. Going to do a lightning round.
Just like quick answers.
Quick answers. Cat or dog?
Cat.
What's your favorite food?
Sushi.
What's your all-time favorite film?
Weird Al UHF.
Last song you've had on repeat?
Wow, probably something by Insane Clown Posse.
If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, wow. Chris Farley.
It's a zombie apocalypse. What would be the weapon of your choice?
If I had unlimited ammunition, probably a bazooka, but hand-to-hand, I'd probably just have to use an axe.
If you could travel back in time, what advice would you give 10-year-old you?
Save all your video game boxes.
Really, thank you for coming on the episode. I really do look forward to having you on. I'm glad you're really keen to come back on.
Thank you.
I'm going to end it there. I'm going to let you say bye to listeners, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon.
Definitely. Can I also say like one last thing in my like minute, 30 seconds?
Go. You've got a minute and 30 seconds.
Give me 30 seconds. Probably my favorite EverQuest thing. I'm actually really proud of this, and it's still just kind of mind-blowing. I'm really the first person to ever do this in 20 years, and it's not just P99 specific. It's the EverQuest everywhere. Just look up Chelseth Stone solved by Battletoad, and you'll find a Reddit link, and you'll find a short video to watch by another P99 guy who makes hysterical videos named Michael Shenanigans. And you'll just have to watch it. It's pretty in-depth, but I think that I solved 100% some of the most classic symbols in EverQuest, and even an old GM developer stepped in my Facebook post to comment on it as well. I really like that, and I think it'd be great if you would check that out. It's pretty cool.
I'll check out. I'm sure the listeners will, and we can catch up on it once I've checked it out when we catch up next time.
All right, thanks for having me.
No worries. See you soon, Battletoad. Thanks for your time.
Good luck on your quest.